Thanks. First, I'm just surprised. Well, maybe I should honor the ladies for being here, because there are a lot of guys here. Is like something changed? I just don't remember ever there being this many guys in a class like this, but it's just great to see all the guys, and I'm glad the ladies are here too. Really glad you're here, but it's just unusual. I thought I'd comment on that. Hey, I need to know what you hope to learn here, because we have 50 minutes, and I mean, we could spend like 3 weeks talking about this. So if I could just hear a few thoughts about, okay, the issue is contemporary keyboard playing. All right, so I assume that, do all of you play piano? Okay, oh great, all right. So I could really say anything I want, and you wouldn't know the difference. For those of you who do play piano, just, and maybe want to learn how to play contemporary better, what kind of questions would you have? Anything that you've been thinking about, like as you're playing, how does that happen? Yeah. Okay, stock fills, yep, got them. We can show you stock fills. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. So like reharmonization? Yeah. Okay, very good. I mean, if you got other instruments playing, I mean, just a brief answer, if you have other instruments playing, like with the orchestra this morning, I was very conscious of playing their chart. I mean, I would have redone some things. When there's an ensemble, you want to play what everybody's playing. But that doesn't mean you can't reharmonize or revocalize some things. Any other thoughts or questions? Yeah. Say again, I'm sorry. Oh, how to make it sound big without playing the octaves? Okay. Okay, yeah. These are great questions. Okay, any more? Yeah. Just get him the tape. Just give him the tape of this class. Oh, that's okay. Working with pianists. Oh, that's good. Yeah, because pianists are like most musicians; they're just hard to teach. Probably. Yeah.
Licks, fills, runs, breaks, what goes with what. That kind of thing.
Good. What was the last thing you said? Front?
I'm sorry.
What was the last thing you said?
Rolls, tremolos.
Oh, tremolos, okay. Tremolos are not used a lot. Like in, like, not very contemporary. So, I know you're not talking. So that's an easy one.
I know.
Yeah.
Excellent,
yeah. Excellent. Okay. Oh. How to play an ensemble. Good. You know, I'm hoping I can just take the whole time just you guys asking questions. And that would be wrong. Any others? This is really helpful. Okay. Really, nothing's anything you thought about? Okay. Because, I mean, I put this outline together. It's not something you can really teach systematically. It's more, you know, what happens as you go along. I mean, someone's already mentioned one of the points that is really important, and that is just the role of the keyboardist. That's where I started. A lot of churches are, you know, they move into contemporary music with the idea that, well, we'll just do this like we did all the other stuff, and, you know, everybody playing all the time, and, you know, it'll just work. It doesn't work, because contemporary, and that's a broad term, isn't it? So anything within the last 30 years, that's what we're talking about. Back to the 70s, 80s, 90s. Because if you're really contemporary, I'm probably not your guy to teach this. There's stuff that's more contemporary than I am. But for a lot of churches, what I do is contemporary. And actually, the issue is not whether it's contemporary. The issue is what serves the lyric and what serves the congregation. That's what we're focusing on. I think God, well, it's not just what I think. God's glory is too great to be contained in one style. It is too great to be contained in one style, one dynamic, one instrumentation, one arranging technique. He's glorious. So music is one of the ways his glory is displayed. And of course, there are other balancing factors to that. We just don't do the most creative stuff we can because we're seeking to serve the congregation. We're seeking to serve them by implanting the Word of God in their hearts through music. That's what we're seeking to do, so that they can have faith in God through these words that we're singing, and music then becomes a servant to do that. Even in the places where there's instrumental music, I think in a congregational setting, it's helpful to have either familiar tune that's being played or that music being done close to text or verbs or words that people can relate it to. In other words, if I just sit down at the piano and play something peaceful, I mean, all it's communicating is peacefulness. That's different from the peace that Jesus Christ came to give, which the world cannot take away. Now, or to know that the Lord is my shepherd, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, if that's what's just been said, and you do, you know, you're playing something that's sparse and peaceful, people can connect, okay, yes, Lord, they can be meditating on truth as that's being played. So I'm getting off into tangents. But anyway, the music is there to serve the congregation by helping the Word of God be planted in them. When you have an ensemble, a group of people, keyboardist plays a number of roles. They're basically, unless you're playing by yourself, they're part of the rhythm section. Keyboard, drums, and bass. And in contemporary, pop rock music, drums and bass really are the foundation. Guitar and piano sit on that foundation. That's the first thing you need to understand if you're going to play with a contemporary group. The keyboardist doesn't need to keep the beat. Now he or she needs to play in time. Some of you just got free. Yes! I didn't think I needed to stay in time. Man, that's great news. No, you need to play in time, and you need to have a sense of feel, which is really, it's pervasive throughout music, through all kinds of music. Classical music should be played with a good feel. Often it's not. Often it's played just, you have the notes and it's like a machine could generate that, but that's bad music. You know, when I was in school, I majored in classical piano at Temple University, and there were pianists who played like that. They got all the notes, didn't miss anything, but it kind of sounded like a machine. And there needs to be this sense of feel, this pulse, my piano teachers call it, this pulse that it's internal and it's just there. And no matter what you're playing, it's I'm feeling this. Now, if I'm not feeling it in here, you know what's going to happen? It's going to try to come out through my fingers. So I'm going to think that to make the feel happen, I've got to play it. Every eighth note's got to be filled because then I know I'm getting the feel, and it doesn't sound like you have the feel, but that's what you're thinking. And it's not very musical, but that's what we do. We got to realize there's a disconnect between what we think things sound like and what they actually sound like. So if you really want to grow as a pianist, do two things. Listen to other people play and listen to recordings of yourself. That's some of the most painful but helpful exercise, it's one of the most painful but helpful exercises you can go through, is to record what you do in a meeting, in a service, and then listen to it. Or record your rehearsal. Because one of the things we always talk about is space, the importance of space. And I'm really like hitting just different points, but eventually it'll all come together, I'm sure. When one of the differences in contemporary music is that it allows more space for the lyric to make its statement, to breathe. So take a song like one we sang this morning, I Will Glory in My Redeemer. You know, we could do this, I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. See how the lyric just kind of sets on top of that? Now here's a more traditional way of playing it. I will glory in my Redeemer, whose priceless blood has ransomed me. Now what do you hear? You just hear all this piano, la, 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 which can be beautiful, but if you want to let people hear those words, you've got to lighten it up. Now, when you're playing with other people, you've got to do even more lightening up. I made reference to the fact that bass and drums are providing your foundation for the beat. So when you're playing with bass and drums, you've got to listen to that bass and drums, especially the kick. The kick and the bass are supposed to be playing together, ideally. I mean, in a lot of churches, they don't. They the bass player just, and the kick, you know, boom, 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 just kind of happy feet. And what you want to do, like on the song, I'll just take songs we did this morning. Was everybody there? Who wasn't there this morning? Okay, just a few of you. Okay, but maybe you know these songs. How great is your love? How high and how wide? How deep and how long? How sweet and how strong is your love? Now, if I'm playing that just by myself, I'm responsible for keeping the rhythm going. So I might play a little of that rhythm and the bass in the left hand. How high and how wide? How deep and how long? How sweet and how strong is your love? I'm accenting that so you can hear better. Sweet and how strong is your love? How lavish your grace? How faithful your ways? How great is your love, O Lord? But if I have the bass and drums going kick, 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 kick. Objects of mercy who should have known wrath. That's totally fine. In fact, it's better than fine, it's good. Now, who's trained classically as a pianist? Okay, oh yeah, it's just so much harder for us. Because we've been trained to think that the more notes, the better, and you know, God gave us 10 fingers and 88 keys, what potential there is in that. you know, unlike a guitar, 6 strings, you know, just 5 fingers. It's really how we think. I hate to admit it, but we just don't have to. So, let me finish the keyboardist's place and move on to the next part of the outline. Part of the rhythm section, so you let other instruments play their part. So if it's me and a bass, a kick and a drummer and a bass drum and a guitar player, well, he's part of the rhythm section too, and I need to coordinate what I'm doing with them. An assumed in all this, if you're playing contemporary piano, is that you can hear the other musicians. That's not always necessary. Like when you're in an orchestra, you know, the trumpet player's not hearing the third violin. You have no idea what they're doing. You're depending on the conductor. In a contemporary setting, in a band setting, let's just call it a band. You need to hear what everybody's doing, because so much of it is by ear. So much of it is, okay, what's happening right now? What can I do to add to that? What can I do? Oh, they're doing something so I can lay back. So if you use monitors, and okay, how many of you use monitors? Because I don't wanna, okay, good. If you use monitors, take a good amount of time on your monitor check. What often happens is, you know, we're rushed for rehearsal, so we just, okay, everything's working, okay, let's start rehearsing. And you just make sure you can hear yourself. And if you can only hear yourself, what's going to happen when you're not playing? What will you hear? It'll sound like the bottom's dropped out. You know, it sound like nothing's going on. So you'll be tempted to play all the time. So it's really important. Like if I'm a keyboardist, I want to hear what the guitar player is doing. Even if they're bad. Really, even if I don't think they play very well. Because people are going to hear that guitar player. And so I want to hear what I'm doing is interacting with that. Also, because we're in the same aural range. You know, the guitar is like in here. And so I'm playing a lot in here. And so we just need to hear what each other is doing. So the nice thing about piano is that, or keyboard, is that you can do both rhythm, or you can do all three, rhythm, harmony, and melody. So you can do three different things. So we don't have to do all of them at the same time. Again, classical pianists, we tend to think we need to do everything. No, you could just do melody and that'd be fine. You can just do harmony without any rhythm. Again, staying in time, but you're not providing the rhythmic drive. Let other people do that. A lot of times the acoustic guitar player's doing it. So that's great. I don't need to add to that confusion. Well, it's not confusion, but I don't need to confuse things by playing more rhythm myself. So some ideas, like if I'm thinking rhythmically, what are some things I can do? I can play whole notes. And if you're wanting to grow in learning how to play contemporary style, here's where I'd start. Now, I'm assuming a certain level of theory here, which I have to assume to like make this work in an hour. You're following a chord chart, and you're just playing the downbeats. So How Great Is Your Love is a great song to work with. Objects of mercy who should have known wrath, we're filled with unspeakable joy. Riches, I'm actually playing every two bars. And that is totally fine. So if you've been, looking at the guitar chart and, okay, G, objects of mercy who should have known wrath. And another tendency is the pedal just tends to stay down and like it just gets muddy. And listen to the difference between, I'll play the exact same thing. Objects of mercy who should have known wrath, we're filled with unspeakable, okay? Objects of mercy who should have known wrath, who are filled with... When I don't play the pedal, then these are the only notes that are reverberating, the ones I'm holding down. When I keep the pedal down, the whole piano's, picking up the overtones. So it's really muddying the sound. So if you're... Again, I could spend a whole class on this, on just how to use the pedal. Because our tendency is just to overuse the pedal. It covers up mistakes. It's, we think of it as our friend. You want to think that the pedal is not my friend. You want to think that thing's like got, it's really hot and you just want to touch it a little bit and not just kind of plant your foot on it. Okay, no, it's a... Now, some of you know that's a problem for you, so you just have to respond to that. Okay, so whole notes. Quarter notes is another... technique you can use. One Pure and Holy Passion is a song we do. Give me one pure and holy passion. Little variation. Give me one magnificent obsession. Jesus, give me one glorious. Again, I want that melody and those words to come out. That's what I want people to hear. That's what I'm there for. People don't gather to hear me play piano. They're not gathering to hear, hopefully. I mean, I'm never totally encouraged when someone comes up and says, hey, I really enjoyed your licks in that song. It's like, ugh. Oftentimes it's a musician and I know they're worshiping the Lord and they're, at least I hope they are. But that's not what I want people to say. I don't want them to say, great arrangement, man. I want them to say, you know what? it just became much clearer to me that I was an object of wrath, and now I'm an object of mercy as we sang that song. And man, I have so much to sing about. Thank you for helping me see that. That's what I want people to say. Then I know I've done my job. It's kind of like people who hang drywall. Like, the only way you know, you notice what they've done is that they've done a poor job. That's the only way that you'll notice, you know. I mean, someone hung the, I guess this is drywall in here. We're in a house, you know, and you look at a house. You look at it kind of with light shining down. You can see whether or not they did a good job. A great drywall hanger, you will never notice what they did. So that's how I think of what we do as musicians, just trying to serve the church. I don't really want people to notice what I do. I want to do it in a way that brings the focus to who we're singing to. Because that is so much greater and so much more glorious. And all that's going to happen with my music is they're going to be emotionally moved, which is fine, but that's not the same as being morally changed. That's not the same as seeing the glory of Christ, which is what I want to do. So that's what we're seeking to do through this. Okay, rocking eights, you are my king. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. And, you know, I don't know if I did that. Okay, broken chords would be like, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Tower and majesty, praise to the King. Now, I would never do that if I had like a big ensemble or a big rhythm section with me. I may use that like momentarily. So, shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Tower and mat, which functions as a fill, and it's nice if I play the right notes, functions as a fill, as well as kind of an arpeggiated feel. So none of these you'd probably do through the whole song. You'd kind of vary it up. Reggae, I don't know if you'll ever use that. Lord. Mm. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. So, shuffle beat reggae, I won't even spend time on that. Guitar style is like this. It's that dotted eighth, eighth tied to a half note or a quarter. And again, listen to the difference when I'm playing full pedal. Versus. It's just a little more distinct, a little more clear, I think a little easier to sing to, a little more rhythmic. You can tell whether you're actually playing with the rest of the group when you use less pedal. Following the melody, now that's where most traditional pianists go. So knowing you, all I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. Which is fine, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just as most of the people already know the melody. I mean, no one, unless you're teaching it for the first time, no one's listening to the piano thinking, oh, I wonder what the melody is. I mean, they won't be able to catch it fast enough anyway. I mean, this morning, you might have noticed during the first time we sang Jesus, thank you, I did play the melody. The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. But that was just to, you know, give people a little help. But after the first verse, it's like you're on your own. And people got it, pretty much. But typically, you're not going to be playing the melody. So if you're thinking, oh, well, how do I work all this stuff into playing the melody? Don't worry about the melody. Think rhythm, harmony, and melody, but not necessarily the melody of the song, but melodies that complement the song, which we'll talk about in just a second. But before we do that, echoing or playing between the melody. That's how high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is. Now, someone asked a question about how do you play big without octaves. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Let's talk about harmony. Any questions so far on what I've shared? I'm just kind of rolling along here. If I'm unclear on anything, just...
You mentioned it just really, but your idea of the getting...
Leaving the hole in the middle?
Yeah.
That is coming up.
Is that coming up?
Yeah. I could just as well mention it now, but I won't. just different ways you can think of harmony. You have your root position, which... how do I say this? In contemporary music, you want to think of chords as, building blocks that you can arrange in many different ways. So, a lot of us are taught triads. They still teach them like that? Or we learn to play them like this. Root position. And that's one way of playing a chord. Then there are inversions, which are usually written on the chart, like a C over E, G over B, C over G. Slash chords are real popular in contemporary music, where you have the chord in the right hand, single note in the left hand, or an octave. So C over B flat, F over A flat, F minor over A flat. G over F. So the bass isn't actually part of the chord. It's just either a passing tone or something that adds interest. A lot of songs begin with that. That walk down bass where that first note's just D over C sharp, G over B. So if you want to become familiar with those kinds of things, the best thing to do is to figure out a pattern. Like, it could be this, and play it in every key, and just until, it's just under your fingers, because there are two ways we play music. One, probably more than that, but one is by, what we know and what we hear. The other is by muscle memory. Just, what's there, because you've done it so many times, it just comes out, and you barely have to think of it because you've just done it for 20 years and or 43 years. And it's just there, but that's mostly muscle memory, not like, oh, here's what I'm gonna play. No, my fingers just kind of know where to fall, and they just go there, and so it's very natural. So if you want to practice something, that's just a good thing to practice. If you find a song which has some chords that are like difficult for you, learn it in 12 keys. Just take it and just, okay, we're gonna, and it may be like, oh, this is so hard. But when you come back to the normal key, it will be so easy, a little easier, And if you keep doing that, that's how you develop that sensitivity. So that's just open voicing. Okay, here's where we start getting into arranging some of what you're doing. Okay. You got a guitar chart, it's there in front of you. What are you gonna do with it? You can play the chords. How high and how wide, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love. How lavish, that's one way of playing it. And it will work. If you have a good rhythm section, it'll work, it'll be fine. Consider open voicing, where you spread the notes of the chord out. So you take a G chord, for instance, and you just spread those notes out. Or even, that's an A minor 7 chord. It has all the notes of an A minor 7, but there's at least a sixth between every note. So it just gives a fuller sound than, say, this. I mean, it's a different sound. This is your range versus this. The other thing that's different is this is the outside voicings are a third apart or a tenth apart, whereas here they're a seventh apart. So it's just a different sound. So if you start thinking, okay, how can I play chords with open voicings, it will start to change the way you're playing sounds. And one thing that you can do to practice that is just take your normal triad, a C major, spell it out, C, G, E, and then, you know, invert it, keep inverting. Take it to D flat. Take it to D. If you do that for like 15 minutes for like a month, you know, every day, your playing will change. It will change because you'll start to realize, oh, there are different ways. I see that C on the page. I don't have to play it like this. You know, that's my C. I can play it like this. 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 And now we're going to talk about color tones, because I've been using color tones, but I haven't really talked about them. Color tones is what makes your playing sound bigger than it really is. So the question about, you know, how do you make, if you can't do octaves, the second in particular is a, it just adds a richness to the chord. Now, like in the C chord, key of C, it's the D. I mean, you can slip that in without anybody else doing it. You know, it just works. It's not the best voicing. Best voicing would be maybe to put that second together and put the G and the C below it. Another way, I mean, there are all kinds of ways of doing this. I'm just taking those four notes. There's another way. Put the third in the bottom. The C and the D become the second, and then the G on top. Just going to practice that. So I get a piano voice, like, say you find a chord that you really like. I used to play for dance classes in college, modern dance and ballet. And so I'd be like working on chords, like, you know, jazz chords or something. So I would just look for ways to like play that chord a lot. Da, 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 da. I mean, it would sound awful, but they were paying me to do it anyway. Da 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 da. You know, but you do that enough, and again, your hands start to go, oh, that's the chord, and that's the sound. So your mind hears a sound you want to hear, and then your fingers know where to go. That's really what's happening anyway. When you hear a major chord, most of us can tell the difference between a major chord and a minor chord, hopefully. Well, as the chords get a little richer, you start to develop that same, you can develop that same ability to hear, oh, that's this chord. You know, this is, do you know what that chord is? Something with a two, that's very good, yeah. What's that? Yeah, that's exactly right. Second chord is a two chord with a fifth in the bass. Here's your two. And listen for the low note. Now it's based on this chord, but it sounds really different, doesn't it? That's one of the ways you can open a song up, is just by, and a lot of arrangers do this. They, you know, let's take a C, G, F. Let's do a song. A slow song. What's a slow song you do in your church? Anybody? What is it? Okay, good. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Okay, I'm adding a color tone, so I'll tell you what it is. After the second, the fourth is a really popular addition. And what I just did was, light of the world, you step down into dark. That is an F sharp minor 7 plus 4, which sounds really creative, but it's really not. It's just your, let's play it in, what key do you play that in? Light of the world. In D? Okay, good, let's play in D. Light of the world, You step down into, see, isn't that a nice chord? That down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Now, that second chord, you can also play it without the third. These are just ways of making it sound a little more contemporary. You don't have to, what we need to get to the place where, you know, the chord is kind of flexible. It's flexible within limits. If the other people are playing, you know, a certain chord, then you got to play the things that go with that chord. But a lot of these things, the tonal additions, the texture additions, will go with those chords that they're playing. So if you have somebody playing C, you can add the second. Yeah, sometimes you can add the fourth, depending on where it is in the chord, where it is in the scale. So we got light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Second day that made this heart adore. That's an E minor 7/4, E minor 7+4. But I'm just breaking it up, arpeggiating. Da 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 da. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that. That's the same, that's a B minor 7+4. Oh man, this just goes so many directions. So the second, the fourth, you can add, just experiment. Just, you know, take a chord. Anytime you see a minor seven, try adding a fourth to it. That's all. So an E minor seven, you know, you'd add the A. And just, you can start like that, you know, just playing the G plus the A and the E. Or you can kind of spread it out. No, that's not it. I want to get a good voice in there. Yeah, there. Yeah. Where you're only playing five notes, because there are five notes in an E minor 7+4. So, and then just take that up. Just see what it sounds like, what it feels like, then try to move around on it. Okay, yeah, this is the E minor, okay, that's right. And then as you do that, again, it'll just kind of work its way into your fingers and your hearing. Question? No? Yeah. Yeah, you'd use it on a major chord when it's a kind of part of a progression. Yeah, how high and how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love. How light, kind of, it serves as a pedal tone. The root, I'm using the tonic as the fourth of the five chord. Does that make sense? So it's a D, but I'm adding a G. Or you might, like a progression, go down. It's like A minor, G. So it just adds that little bit of, you know, tension. Yeah, it's on top. Yeah, usually it'll be on top. So a second, fourth, a sixth, you can add seventh or ninth. Okay, someone asked about, well, licks and chords. A lot of the licks, yes, Chip, Professor Stam. Nice try. A lot of the licks, rather than, wouldn't be surprised. A lot of the licks and fills are built around these passing tones, these texture tones. So if you wanna add a cool like little fill, think the seventh, fourth, second notes, rather than the notes to the chord. So if I'm in, you know, F, well, let's do that. Light of the world, step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. Here's G. Okay, now I could do, which just sounds like a doorbell. And I don't want to do that. So I'll be thinking, okay, what notes could go with that G chord that would just make it a little more creative and innovative? D's, yes, yum. which is the sharp four and the second, which you think, what? Yeah, but it sounds cool. Let me see. And just, you don't have to like fill the whole space. You know, I know like none of you have ever done that and or ever heard anybody do that. But really, it's like a voice. And if we're all, if all the instruments are speaking at the same time, nobody understands what's being said. I think it's a biblical principle, 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about, you know, if the trumpet doesn't give a distinct sound, who will respond to the call for battle? Well, in the same way, if instruments don't give distinct, if you can't hear distinct voices, no one really knows, like, how to be moved by it. It's just there, which is why we have so much, I think there are so many bland arrangements, because, you know, well, we want to keep everybody happy, keep everybody playing all the time. So it just sounds the same all the way through the song, and just, you know. So bringing it down home to piano, don't fill the whole thing. Just say something that's meaningful. So you can take the sharp four, because we're in the key of D. Da, 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 da. You take the seventh. There's another one. You can take I mean, there's just a lot of things you can do with that seventh, the fourth, the sixth, and you know, you don't even have to end on a note in the chord. And in my heart, let me see. You know, now some people like Professor Sam would might wince, but well, you loved it. Okay, then they might love it, and others might wince. But you're just being a creative musician, and it's all about self-expression. No, it's not. I'm just lying. I just read that the other day. Yeah, it's just all about self-expression. No, it's not. Okay. I mentioned, as a rule, try to keep note movement to a minimum when you're doing harmonies, which is, again, another shift from hymn playing, where, you know, all I once held dear, built my life up. That's why guitarists, you know, in general, don't play hymns, because they're, you know, that's not even a hymn, but, crowned him with many crowns. Da, 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 da. You know, right here. Da, 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 da. Whoops. Da, 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 da. Yeah. Oh, this is really fun. No, your guitar is just. So, you know, to just make something instantly contemporary and not lose the rich heritage of the hymns, just take out some of those chords. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Now, I'm not adding any texture or voicings, but that's one way we can just make it easier for guitarists and just sound a little more contemporary. Now, that one has a lot of note movement, so you might. There are a lot of things you do with crown with many crowns. Crown it with many crowns. Da 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 da. So right there, the making it sound big, rather than playing octave in left hand, na da 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 da, just adding that second, na da 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 na da 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 da. Probably, I mean, again, a helpful exercise would just be to play every chord with a second, with a third on top, third of the fifth on top, because that's where it'll sound sweetest. Or where your second really is split. I was playing a D and an F sharp in the left hand, D, E, and A in the right hand. Just get the feel of that in your hand. And then, again, over time, it'll just feel more natural. Okay, so the licks, Think about your passing tones, your textures, your color tones, and specify. In terms of fills, are we there yet? Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, you can just fills melodically, single note, which can be very sweet when they're done thoughtfully. What's another modern, like just a modern song, kind of medium tempo, slow tempo? Although, here I am, worship works. Light of the world, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Oh, okay, you got to watch for how much space you have for a fill. It's best if you sing so you know how much space you have for a fill. So that way you can't sing and fill at the same time. You have to wait till you stop singing to fill, which is when you should fill. To in between those spaces, we don't have to fill every one. We shouldn't fill everyone, but it, as those words are affecting you, try and think, now what could I do musically that might pull out the affection of that lyric? So, light of the world, you step down into darkness, open. So I'm just thinking down. Open my eyes, let me see. I'm thinking up. You open my eyes. Let me see. Again, I'm doing something every time, which I wouldn't do. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here, there's not much space. They that... You're my God, altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Now. Done. Again, don't get so caught up in your fill that you lose the feel, lose the pulse. People need to know where they're to come in, so there's still some leadership involved in the playing. And notice I'm too, I'm using dynamics, like. So I'm just helping people know where to sing, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. That's a thing that can kind of bring out a whole new aspect of a song is to use repeating patterns. So you just use the same pattern all through the chord, but keep that pattern, that melodic pattern. So what I was doing was, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Da 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 da. So it's, I mean, they're really simple. They don't have to be complex. And most of the stuff that is good is simpler than we think it is. There's a skill to it. I had a conversation with a guy one time about how it takes no skill to play contemporary music. That was that's what he was said, premise. And I just laughed. I just said, well, you know, I've certainly heard it played badly enough times to know that it does take skill. It's just a different kind of skill. But a lot of the things that make contemporary music effective is taste. It's knowing when to play, knowing what to play. I'd like to say more about fills. It's helpful to know the melody of the song so you can play around it, but not necessarily play it. You can develop like single melodic lines that are fills. You can just put harmony underneath them. Here and worship, here and about say, light of the world, open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that, that's a little heavier, it's a little clunkier, I probably wouldn't use that there. But say, how high and how wide, how deep and how long. See, that's a funny space right there. How high and how long, how deep and how long, how sweet and how strong is your love. How again, no pedal, very clear, doesn't have to be complicated. The only thing I want to add is that if you're always doing them down here, you might be in the way of a lot of other people who are playing. So, how strong is your love? And I'm like, you know, I'm hitting those. It's not, is your love? It's a voice. It's like saying, hey, I'm here. And it's just, it's in a response to the emotion being generated by the amazing truth that we're singing. That's what it is. It's not to manipulate emotion. It's a natural response to the emotion, which is why we ourselves, are we done?
Yeah, we're probably done, but I want you to.
Oh man, we're done? Yeah. I thought we had till 1.
No, the next class starts at 1.
I'm so sorry.
But tell in a sentence what this next.
I'm so sorry. Well, okay. Well, first let me say,
this has been great.
I hope this has been helpful. Cut me off. Let me mention one thing you mentioned earlier is just the donut style, where if you have a guitarist, you can play on the bottom and the top, leave a hole in the middle for other instrumentalists. That's the point on the second page under general direction. Boy, thanks for being here. Next hour, I'm going to talk about some of the beliefs about worship that people have generally seen as contradictory or opposing, which God intends for us to think of as complementary and to pursue both at the same time. So that's what I'll do.